Good evening, everyone. It's good to have you with us, and hope that your expectations for what you're going to hear in the next 50 or 55 minutes will be might gender some questions and it might answer some questions. So you never know. And we're in the book of Ephesians, and we're in chapter 5. And chapter 5 deals with our walk, and it deals with our walk with pretty much everybody that we might meet. It's been dealing with our walk with the believers and also those that don't believe, because that is part of our job, is to allow all men to have the opportunity, or all people, have the opportunity to understand what it is to have a mention of a body of Christ which had not been previously expounded upon very much, and that had been held in secret. And so the finished work of Christ is only part of that, what he did on the cross. And the rest of it was to buy back those that had been chosen from before the creation of the world, or before anything was created. So when you stop and think about this, and you have seen and understood some of this, then you realize that you've been in the mind of God for maybe millions of years. I can't tell you how long. I wouldn't even really venture a guess, because that's out of the ballpark for me. That's over the fence, if you will. But the fact is, you know, this is what we're bringing to you, and this is what we're going to bring to you for a little while, if the Lord allows us to do it, not only this day, but in days to come, because we're going to look at the last seven epistles that Paul wrote, because that's where the mystery truth comes from. That's what Paul was called to do, and the start of that call was on the Damascus Road, and then it evolved along as Paul got older. And so what we're reading here now is epistles that was written in the early 60s, like A.D. 60 or 61 or 2. There's a two-year period in there which evidently four of these had been written. And so today's study is study 52 in what we have called this wisdom. And it's God's wisdom that he kept secret. And he kept it secret because the fact that he wanted to keep it away from Satan until at such time that he had all these things in place the way he wanted them to be in place. Okay, today's date is the 15th day of July, 2020. And this is study 52 in our study. So we've been a year's worth in Wednesday nights, plus we've missed two or three. So it's been a little over a year since we started all this. But you see, God gave each one of us a mind, and he gave us the ability to make choices. And so this is the onstart of the situation between the uproar between God and Satan. And so we've been given choices, and it's up to us to make a choice. Now, the angelic order didn't have choices. They had orders or commands. the Israelites were chosen, and they had commandments to follow. They had the law to follow in their aspect of this thing with God. But God has given us grace, and He's given us His love, and He has chosen us from before the foundation of the world because He had an agreement with the Son that somewhere down the line that the Son would need to come and buy back His chosen ones. Well, the Son agreed to that. And so we come down to the point at one time in Scripture there where it says the archangel brought the seed of God because He reduced Himself down to a sperm, and He planted it in the womb of Mary, this young lady that was engaged to a carpenter. And it was explained to her what the deal was going on, and that she had been chosen to be the mother of the Son of God as far as man was concerned. And so here we are. And they have put Christ on a cross. They had Him for 3 years. And they put Him on a cross. And they crucified Him. He was in the ground 3 days and nights. And He rose again. And He was with them 40 days. And He ascended back up from the Mount of Olives. Excuse me. From the Mount of Olives, He ascended back into heaven. We haven't heard from Him since. Not directly. But we do have the Holy Spirit that deals with us in the sense of the Son. And so that Holy Spirit gives us understanding and direction and knowledge and wisdom and truth and love that shows us what the Father wanted in us when He chose us. So here we are. Some of it's good. Some of it's not so good because we have the pros and cons here in our walk that in the whole chapter 5 and part of the chapter 6 deals with our walk, our manner of life. And it says in places it's our conversation. And it is.
Old English rendering.
To that extent. Okay. So, we're going to go back to verse 5, and this is right in the middle of a verses that are negative. And so, 5, 6, and 7 are negative verses here. But there's reasons for that. God don't give you the one hand unless He gives you the other. So here we go. We're going to do 5. I'm going to change it up a little bit this week because I'm going to read the King James Version and I'm going to read my notes. And then I'm going to read the Koine Greek rendering that Jack Eberle put in his Workman's Interlinear. And then we're going to read what Jack said. So you're going to get 4 renderings of the same verse. Now, if you feel like you can't stay for that, then you may need to check your Holy Spirit because, you know, this is the way it works. Okay, here we go. Verse 5, Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 5. It says, "For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." And I think this would probably be the first time that you've ever read about the kingdom of Christ. But we do not know, as being part of the body of Christ, we do not know all of the things that Christ is going to inherit and what He's going to have power over But God is going to give him the power of the universe because he was the one that created for the Father the universe. It was cut and carved out of him. So he has every right to do that because he came and hung on the cross and he paid for mine and your sins. And he didn't have to do that. But he had agreed with the Father to do that. He just ain't bought us back yet. But we're, if you go to Ephesians, and I can show you in Ephesians where it is, if you're a member of the body of Christ, you're dead man walking today.
Yep. In Colossians.
In Colossians. Okay. For this you know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So, literally, we don't know, being part of the body of Christ, we don't know what and all our job is going to entail in that situation. We're still learning. And we'll always learn, but we'll never learn it all because until we get there and we get this spiritual body, and we can do things that we don't even know about much now, about the power that God gives to those he loves. Okay. No one, this is my notes. No one with these thoughts or desires will have part in the kingdom or the body is that of Christ or the Father God. So, in the body of Christ, in the family of God, this is not going to take place there. You may see it on every street corner in the world today. But when it gets down to that point, it's not going to happen. Let me read you what it says in the Koine Greek. And it is a English rendering of what was written in the Koine Greek. This for you. Know that any fornicator, see, it changed a little bit. Or unclean covetous, who is an idolater, not has inheritance in the kingdom of the Christ and the kingdom of God, or and God. And here's Jack's rendering. Well, I'll go back and read it without the spaces there. For this you know, that any fornicator or unclean or covetous who is idolatrous has not inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So in the family of God, that's not going to be something that's going to be allowed. Here's Jack's rendering. He says, the fornicator who cares nothing for the creation or the God of creation defies God's creative law. Fornication breaks this bond. It makes a mockery of serious human relationships between man and woman. Those who partake are vain and superficial and have the potential to cause great harm, not only to themselves, but to the physiological society also. Those who delve into the unclean aspects of these relationships will pay a price. They are akin to the covetous whose adverse and selfish hunger will not be controlled. These may have come from religious societies which indulge in unhealthy and satanic worship. Do not be confused on this aspect. None of these will come into the kingdom of the Messiah, which will be on earth or in the realm of any of God's rule throughout his future without end. In short, or to put it bluntly, as Jack would say, the person will not have life. And so, take that for what it's worth. And I know it's a kind of a normal thing now for people to get out and indulge in things that they shouldn't indulge in. But we need to know. And everybody needs to know that that's not acceptable by God. And it's not going to be acceptable by God regardless of where he feels like his hope is. And that's just how it is. But this is not the end of it. Let's look at verse 6. Because that's just the one verse that's negative. There's two more here that are negative. And look at verse 6. It says in 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. Full stop. And in this, and it says, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So, verse 6 says this, in the King James Version. My note says, man's notions do not support the wisdom of God. Because man's notion, he has made a choice, and he can choose to believe what Satan has said. And so we have to look at that in that light. Now, let's look at it in the Koine Greek. And it says this, no one you let deceive with empty words. Though these things come, the wrath of God, the wrath of the God upon the sons of the disobedient. Let's just read it straight through. Let no man deceive you with empty words, for though these things come, the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. And so, Jack says this. Some of the sophisticacy or whatever he uses there at that time reasoned away the perversely and evil of the practices. Well, that's something that Satan can really do. He can make bad things look real good. Today, not much has changed. Carnal logic does not coordinate with God's word. The logic of the world has a different goal because this Satan is still the prince and power of the air. We must not believe that men's notions will be supportive of spiritual wisdom. And if you don't believe that, look at Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. We won't go there today for time's sake, but we will give you that as something to look at. So that's verse 5 and 6. And we got one more verse here in the negative. And Satan, verse 7 is this. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. That is those that believe man's situation is better than God's. And so, in my notes, I said, have no part in those or them. Why? Down through many, many, many of the years of the history of God's Word concerning Israel, this was Israel's downfall. They had two or three kings that were fairly decent individuals, David, Solomon, and Jehoshaphat. And the rest of the kings of Israel, you could put them in a sack, shake them up, and each one that fell out and turned the sack over, and each one that fall out of the sack would be about the same as the other one that fell out of the sack. All the rest were pretty much even in their thinking and their thoughts, and they're being taken out by the worldly things. So let's look at the Koine Greek in verse 7. And the Koine Greek says, not therefore be joint partakers with them. And that is pretty self-explanatory in that sense. But Jack writes on, he says, this refers to people of carnal minds who would reason around the truth of God. That happens a lot. People want to reason around the truth of God so they can do things that they're not supposed to do. They think that the only truth is that which they can persuade numbers to believe. And you know, in churches in this day and age, it's all about numbers. It's, you know, how many have you got? How long have you been with you? And these people who have forsaken the counsel of the Almighty for the futile reasonings of the inane earthliness, they'll meet their just ends. So, do not join them in their detriment, or your own sorrow. Do not lend an ear to their hollow fables. Rather, our job is to put forth the word, and perchance that they will come to the light. Okay, now, come to the light is what Jack put in his words there, and that gives us a kind of a lead in to the next few verses, because it talks about the things of darkness and the things of light in our walk here. And verse 8, 9, and 10 deals with this a little bit. And verse 9 is a parenthetical insertion for clarity of what's being talked and said. But let's look at verse 8 first. Verse 8 in the King James says this, for ye were sometimes darkness. Oh, we walked in darkness before Christ came into our life. Yeah, we did. We're born in sin. We're born in darkness. But now, you see that but now? That's one of the Apostle Paul's signature, is a but now. Because when you look at what's been said, and you look at what's going to be said, there has to be a but now there. because there's change. Something has changed. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. The Lord has given us light. Hey, that's what the Holy Spirit's job is. The Holy Spirit's job is not to give us only direction, but to give us light to walk that direction, to walk the way that God wants you to walk. Okay? Ye are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Because you have been adopted into the family of God through His finished work upon the cross, and has forgiven you of your sins, all you need to do is to believe that. I didn't say that you would need do anything but that. It's believing. He has already forgiven you, so you don't have to go back and remind God what He forgives you of. He knows what He forgives you of. But that's not held against you anymore. In verse 8. So, walk in light. One time it was in darkness. I can't read this without saying this about my wife. My wife always had problems with her walk. Physically. Not mentally. And not spiritually. But her brain would not tell her feet what was in front of her for whatever reason. And she stumbled a lot. She didn't have good balance. But that was something she was born with. And when she passed away without any feet. Because both of them had been taken off to keep her alive. But listen, in Scripture, she could walk in the light. And it took me quite a little while to get her to understand that she didn't learn this in a Baptist church. Well, she did, but under unusual circumstances. But that's just something that isn't preached, generally speaking, in any denomination that I know. That's why we're calling ourselves Truth for Today, because this is Truth for Today. This is 2.35% of the Bible and these seven epistles that were written after AD 60 by the Apostle Paul. And it was only to him that it was given, but it was to us who believe, as we meet and talk to other people, to find out from them if they've heard this great love that God has given to us. That's our job here. That's why we're here. I'm 82 years old, and that's why I'm still here. I'll just be honest with you. If I quit doing this, I don't think I'd last a month. Because God has given me this word to give to you and to this media and those that will hear it somewhere down the road. I don't know who. I can't look at you and tell you if you're a member of the body of Christ or not. But the Holy Spirit can sure make it alive to you if you will just turn loose of everything else and let him lead, guide, and direct you, because the Holy Spirit is put in you for a purpose, and it was put into you to be your GPS. And that's not a global positioning system. That's God's perfect Son. Were you ever realized it or not. And there's a lot of churchgoers today that does not have the Holy Spirit. I think before you can understand this fully, God has to put that Spirit within you, and He'll do it by you professing to Him that you now believe that the Son of God died for you, that He paid the price for you, and that you can have a part and a position into the body of Christ in the upcoming forevermore. And I don't think without it you could understand it, because it's kind of like a sinner listening to somebody preach. It's just so many words unless the Holy Spirit gets involved in it. That's verse 8. Did we read the... No, we didn't read the 28 Greek part. It says, you were for once darkness, now but light in the Lord, as children of light walk around. For you were once darkness, but now light. Walk in Lord as children of light. To have concern for those in darkness, Jack says, is certainly needful for them and us. Someone should pray for them, talk to them, work for their ascent into the light. Philippians 2:15-16. If you need scripture, it's here. Philippians 2:15-16. You walk in Him will do much more to bring truth to your darkened friends. Your words may be inviting. Your walk will be compelling. And His word will be undeniable. Hold up Christ in your life. Remember, you and I both were once in darkness. We all were. We were born that way. Let's get into verse 9, into the parenthetical insertion that's here in verse 9. Verse 9 says this in the King James, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. End of the parenthetical insertion. So it's the Holy Spirit that can filter out Satan's deals with us through the Word of God and through the man of God with his words and his writings, and gives us this truth. The forefruit of the light and the goodness and righteousness and truth. You see, you can't grow anything in the dark but a mushroom that I know anything about. And light brings the good things to bear. And so we need to walk in that light, and we need to have this. For the fruit of the light in all goodness and righteousness and truth. This verse is thought by some scholars to be parenthetical. Yet it does not alter or diminish the prevailing message. Those who walk in light especially intended to apply to the body members of Christ, are going to walk in goodness, in righteousness, and in truth. The goodness refers to the good works and the good demeanor of the heart. Because, you know, you can't understand this without your mind and heart being in accord, because that's the work of the Holy Spirit in you and me. Because the mind and the heart has to be of one accord to where we can understand what God is saying to us in truth. Walking in righteousness is simply doing what is right and purposely intending to do what is right as well as not doing what was wrong. Certainly the righteous walker will have to know the truth which is found in his word. This walk bears fruit, and that's what the word can do. It can shed light and bear fruit, and it bears the fruit of light. It doesn't bear any fruit of darkness. In Jesus Christ, when he walked here on this earth, he had no shadow. If you can find that he had a shadow anywhere in the Word of God, please bring it up next week. I want to see it and read it for myself. Because there was no shadow, there was no sin in the life of Jesus Christ, because he took our sins, and he had to in order to die, because in sin is death, and he could not die when he was God's son in spirit. He was in man when he came as man, and he came with blood. And he came as a kinsman redeemer for us. Then he could die. And he did. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And he rose again and was there 40 days. And he went back to glory. And he's there now. If you're a member of the body of Christ, he is in preparation of making you a new body. Because this old body is, he doesn't have anything when you die, believing God, there's nothing in that grave that he wants anymore. Because when the Spirit leaves, he brings whatever it is that God needs to make you a new being. And that's the reason I said earlier on, we're dead people walking. Because as soon as we give this life up, it's going to be used again as a pattern some way. And we're going to be on display in the heavenly places, because that's what principalities and powers is looking at. Because principalities and powers are going to lose some of their things that they thought they were going to gain by what God is working out through the body of Christ. Because we don't yet know what we're going to do, totally. Yeah. But that's all right. Whatever it is, I'll take it, for sure. What time is it?
9:16.
Okay. Let's go to verse 10. Okay, remember, walk in light, in goodness and righteousness and truth, And so we get down to verse 10. This is the positive part. 8, 9, and 10. 10 says this. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Okay, so the results of 8 and 9 is verse 10, and that's proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Or proving what is well pleasing to the Lord. And if you don't mind, turn with me to 2 Timothy 2:15 for a minute. Now, I know we didn't read some of the others, but we got to read this. 2 Timothy 2:15. This is another aspect of the Holy Spirit. And this is another aspect that causes us dealing with each other to know that we're dealing with those that we will be forever in the body of Christ because of this. Study. Be diligent to show or present thyself. To who? Approved unto God. Because the approval comes from God. His Son bought and paid for you with a price. And the Father has every right to inspect what the Son has paid for. You know, if you send your son to the store and he comes back with a bag of stuff that you sent him after, you look in the bag to see what he's got, to see if he got what you sent him after. Well, God sent his son after you and me. God has every right to look at us and to see if we're up to snuff in the bag that Christ brought to him. Now, I'm adding that to the thought there, but basically, this is what we're talking about. Approved. To have the approval. The dokimos. A workman. Or a laborer, if you will. That needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. This is one of the most greatest verses of Scripture in Holy Writ. That the Holy Spirit will give us the energy and the direction that we can show ourselves approved unto the Father. A laborer that needeth not to be ashamed. We all should live our life like this. Not to be ashamed of our work or what we do. And I use this in the last 16 years that I worked for the Eaton Corporation the Japanese, Nitton Valve. And I didn't get any paperwork much out of the engineering department there, and I worked in the shop. And my job was to come up with new things to help the company grow and expand. Well, we had a guy to come in from Nebraska, and he was the production manager. And sitting back there in the shop was a big old square box, metal box, that I put my scrap in. He'd come back there and kick around that box and look around, walk around and scratch his head a little bit. I asked him one day, I said, "What are you doing back here?" He said, "Well, Cecil, I want to ask you a question." I said, "Okay, I don't know if I have an answer, but I'll try." He says, "All these things you come up with, all these things that you do for us," and he said, "Now, I'm not complaining, but all these things that you do for us, do all of them work?" And I said, "No, they don't work." Well, he said, "I don't never see them in the scrap box." I said, "Yeah, you do. You see them there because you don't recognize what they are. Because you haven't seen it written down on paper. It was in my mind." And so I said, if they don't work, I'll take it away and I'll take the cutting torch or the plasma cutter out and I'll cut that sucker up and put it in that box and haul it out yonder to that building where we store our junk scrap. And I said, "You can go out there and look for it, but it'll be the same situation there. You won't know what it is." And he said, "Well, I've never seen anything in that box that you made that don't work." And I said, "I'm not going to throw away stuff that works. I throw away the stuff that don't work." And they gave me an immediate impact award ever a little bit for things that I've done. And it would be anywhere from $700 to $1,000. And they take taxes out on it and hand me a paper check. Well, when they paid me my salary, it went straight to the bank. I never seen it. And so I put this in a special account because it had already had the taxes paid on it. That satisfied the man. He walked off with it. But I did quote this to him. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." And I said, the book says, rightly dividing the word of God. And I said, this is not God's work here. This is man's work here. But I said, I use the same principle to do both with. And so I said, if you can argue with that, lay it on me. He said, I'll never ask you again.
I'll bet.
And I said, thank you, sir. He was sitting in the vehicle when we went down. And they gave me my last supper. It was lunch, but I'll call it the last supper. When I got ready to retire. And my boss man, he'd come around a lot of times and ask me, says, "Cecil, what are you doing? Or what are you working on?" And I'd tell him and explain it to him. And he'd go on, he'd be happy. Because he could explain it to somebody else if they asked him what I was doing. And he looked around, and he looked at the HR lady, and he said, "Mary Ann Kraft, said, I'm going to tell you one thing, and said, I don't think you understand it yet. He said, there'll never be another Cecil McCurry walk through the door of this building." And she was the one that said if I'd been there, she wouldn't have hired me because I didn't know a computer. And she said, "I know that now and I'm sorry." So there's great thought to that verse of scripture. But it's not for you to hire a preacher or a pastor, if you want to call him a pastor, to tell you what you need to know about God's Word. The book says, study to show thyself approved. You are to present yourself in approval. When God paid through His Son the price for your sins and my sins, that sack shouldn't have any sin in it. It should have approval in it. And that's the way we need to live our life. Where we want to believe it or not, and if that kind of scratches you back a little bit, well, get somebody to scratch it for you. Because that's the truth of God's Word, and that's as plain as I certainly can make it. The results of verse 8 and 9 of chapter 5 of Ephesians, the results is 2 Timothy 2:15. Then we get back into the negative. I stopped with a negative last week, and I don't want to stop with a negative this week. So what time is it, Ronnie?
9:30.
Okay, well, we'll stop with there. So we made it from verse 5 through 10. We made it 5 verses tonight. And you can agree or not agree with what I've said concerning my little messages to you. But think on it. And to realize and understand what is expected of us by getting the best that God could offer. And the best that God could offer was to be part of His Son. Not for a day, not for a week, but forever. And whatever He chooses to do or to get into or to have to judge, or He will give us our orders. And I doubt if He'll have to say anything. Because, you know, we read back over there a few weeks ago where it says He gave some prophets and some apostles,
pastors and teachers.
And right on down, and He says, pastors and teachers. Well, a pastor is a shepherd in the Koine Greek. A pastor is a shepherd. And a good shepherd, his sheep know him. And they know him so well that he don't have to speak to the sheep. He can use hand signals, and they'll look at him and they'll follow him toward the place that he wants them to go. That's the way you and I ought to be. We don't have to run to our preacher and ask our preacher what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit in our heart, our GPS, should tell us whether we're on the right track or not.
Amen.
So, that's about as plain as I can make it. And I hope it works for you. Because, tell you the truth, I've got a sister that's been to every denominational around in this part of the country. And the thing that she's lacking is the Holy Spirit in her life. She wants to be religious, but that's just, she's never really got up before God and said, God, I believe what You've written. I believe what You've said through You, those that You choose to write it down. And that was the Spirit's work too. And so, I can only assume, and I'm not judging, because I laid my magistrate's thing aside years and years ago. I don't even have it on the wall anymore. I tried to do a little judging at one time, but I learned better than that. But I'm kind of like, we had a guy that was a shepherd of our church, I guess, or pastor, or whatever you want to call it. And he said he was a fruit inspector. And if we were providing fruit, he was the fruit inspector. And I thought that was pretty good. For a Baptist preacher, that's not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, God bless you. Love y'all. And we need to keep going in this because it's wonderful. It's something that it took a long time for the Lord to knock it in my head that we needed to do it, but we're doing it. And whether it takes 10 more studies or 100 more studies, I hope I'm there to take care of it. God bless y'all. Pray for me. And I love every one of you. A lot of you I've never seen, but a lot of you are my dear friends. And the reason you're my dear friends is because I've met you and hugged you and talked to you, and I want to do it again. So hopefully we'll get this coronavirus over and get to where we can get back into having our conferences, because I truly, truly miss them greatly. God bless.